This morning we will continue our study on the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in the New Testament. And we are in a series of message to study this book. And God's plan, God's salvation plan in human history is unstoppable in this book we can see. Whether that is good time or bad time, God's plan is unstoppable. Today we come to chapter 20, verses 13 to 38. Chapter 20, verses 13 to 38, because it's a rather long passage. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if you have your Bible, which we encourage you to bring your own Bible to the church. We study together. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 38. And let me read God's word for you. This is God's word. Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 38. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came to the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourself know that I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Now, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of the repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life for any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own self will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I covet no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that my working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself had said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of God. I have a confession to make. Over the years as a pastor serving God, getting busier and busier every year, I deploy a set of systems to manage myself, to manage my time and energy, to manage my availability. To a degree that I manage my life to a degree that sometimes I manage my schedule hour by hour every day. By doing so, I found out that I lost something very precious. What is that precious thing? That precious thing is faith. Trust in God, the one that could make things impossible possible. Now, pay attention. I'm not saying that managing yourself is a bad thing. And I do believe that God wants us to manage our life well. But would that management itself, the mean, overwhelm the end? And I found that my joy in serving lesser and lesser because of my adhering to the management of my own life. And I need to learn and grow in the area of step out in faith, not worry too much about protecting myself, protecting my energy, protecting my well-being, but allow God to use me as He pleases so that I can experience His power and also the people that He entrusted me can experience the grace of God. Before us today, this passage in chapter 20, actually from the beginning of chapter 20, you see that Paul is demonstrating a life. That through these verses, you see that on the one hand, he managed himself. But on the other hand, he's a person, his soul, his heart, his passion is on fire. On fire for what? For the gospel. So therefore today, the sermon title is, The Gospel is Worthy of My Life, Our Life, Your Life. The year was 1780. The place is Hartford, Connecticut, not too far away from us, long time ago. And you know, in that time, science was not very developed. So there was a day that suddenly the sky was all darkened. Some kind of thing coming down from the north that darkened the whole sky. And you can imagine, 300 years ago, these people, they don't know much about the climate and all these things. A lot of people naturally think, is it the end day coming? Is it the end day coming? So there's a lot of people in Hartford, Connecticut on that day. Suddenly they saw all these things. They didn't know what happened. A lot of people thinking, is it the judgment day? A lot of people knelt down on the street, confessing their sins and waiting, you know, saying the last prayer before the end of the world come. And it happened also in the House of Representatives in the state of Connecticut. Then in the middle of the meeting start to begin to gather. And then all of a sudden they saw the sky being darkened. Some of the representatives, they knelt down, saying that, you know, and some cry out to the speaker of the house, saying that, should the meeting adjourn? The speaker, by the name Colonel Davenport, he came to his feet. He silenced the whole house, and he said these words. The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause of adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. So please bring in the candles. Brothers and sisters, this is a picture of a Christian's life. A picture of a Christian who believes in the gospel and experiences the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life will be like that. Whether that's an end day or not the end day, I live my life as if this is the last day and I faithfully carry out my duty. I faithfully carry out my duty. The gospel is worthy of our faithfulness and our highest priority. In today's text, you can see that in verse 18 to 24. Let me read that to you again. 18 to 24, Paul, after Luke recording all these traveling logs, different cities, and, you know, finally, they came to Miletus, and then he called the elders from Ephesus, which is about 20, 30 miles away from Ephesus. And he called them together. He said to them, you yourself know that I live among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia,
serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of the repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testified to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life for any value, nor as precious to my life, to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Through these short verses, you will see that Paul, he served with humility, he served with tears, he served with trials. Yet he did not shrink away from declaring anything that's profitable to the people that he ministered to. What are those things that is profitable to them? Repentance and faith. Repentance to God and faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it sound familiar in the beginning of chapter 19 that Luke recorded two incidents? The 12 disciples in Ephesus and also the sorcerer, the high priest's seven sons. It is the whole gospel, not only just repentance, but also faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is preaching to them, teaching them, serving them with the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of the gospel, with humility, with tears, with trials. Why did he do that? He did also determined to go to Jerusalem. Going to Jerusalem is Paul's goal for this trip's end. He going to Jerusalem not just by himself, he accompanied with some people, because on the way, on his third missionary journey, he collected donations from different churches for the sake of the church in Jerusalem, because they experienced famine. And he determined to go back there by Pentecost. What is the significance of the day of Pentecost? That is the day that the Holy Spirit dwelt upon the believers, and thus the gospel being preached. The original day that the gospel being preached, the origination of the gospel is in Jerusalem. He is determined to bring this love offering back to that church, which is the original place of the gospel, that all these Gentile Christians, all the Christians around in the Mediterranean world, they enjoy the saving power of Jesus Christ's gospel. All because the group of believers in Jerusalem, they were faithful to the message. And they were used by God to demonstrate God's power. And Paul thought, this is a meaningful time. Let me bring that love offering, the love, the affection of all these Christians. They never met them, but they will benefit by their ministry. Let me bring it back to a meaningful place on a meaningful day. So Paul hastened his trip. He even planned that, because on the way he noticed that there may be danger. If I get on a ship and sail directly, I'd be trapped in a ship, and then some people might come and kill me over that way. Now, he's managing himself, so he decided some part of the trip, the most dangerous part, I would go by land, go by foot. When it's safe, I hop on a ship and go back to Jerusalem. He's managing himself, but his management, behind his management of himself, is he laid down his life for the message of the gospel, to serve God, to bring glory to God's name. Paul's management mean did not overwhelm his end. Not like me. Sometimes my mean will overwhelm my end. The gospel is worthy of our faithfulness and of our highest priority. There was a U.S. senator named Mark Hartfield. A long time ago, he was touring India with Mother Teresa. And he was visiting a place called the so-called the house of dying, in which sick children were cared for in the last days, and numerous poor people line up for the medical treatment. Watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, this senator was overwhelmed because he saw so much suffering. So he asked her this question: how can you bear the load without being crushed by it? Mother Teresa looked at the senator and asked, and replied, "My dear senator, I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful." Brothers and sisters, we live in this world, in this culture that sometimes overwhelmed by business culture. Calculate effectiveness, efficiency, and all these things. Numbers, returns, and all these things. But would that be sometimes our calling, that God called us to embody the message of the gospel among your neighbors, among your colleagues, among your fellow students, that you might not be able to see result year after year? You might not see one convert. Perhaps this will encourage us. We are not called to be successful, but we are called to be faithful. The gospel is worthy of our life and our highest priority. It's worthy of our faithfulness. Why? Why would the gospel be worthy of our life, our faithfulness, and our highest priority? In verse 25 to 32. 25 to 32, this is the core of today's passage. And now Paul continues to speak to the elders. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, pay attention to this sentence, which he obtained with his own blood. Which he obtained with his own blood. The Greek original language has emphasized, he obtained with his own blood. We know that is Jesus' blood, but the emphasis is his own. And this emphasis happened several times in the scripture. Remember Abraham offering his son Isaac. What did God demand him? Bring your son, your very own son. It's the same emphasis here. Luke record this speech from Paul. This is the key sentence. Paul is telling them, the church, you and I, believers, we are obtained by God's very own Son's blood. His own blood. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does it tell us? It tells us God values each one of us. He values me, he values you. I don't know what happened in your life, everyone, but God knows what happened in your life. Maybe you are in a high point in your life, but some of us may be in the lowest point in your life. Even some may be contemplating taking your life. I want to encourage you today, look deep in this verse, which he obtained with his own blood. Change that sentence into, you being obtained with his son's own blood. He loves you. He cares about you. He values you to a degree. He sacrificed his own son in order to obtain you, to bring you back to him. You might not feel that, but that is the spiritual reality. That is what happened. Each one of us, God values you. And that's precisely the foundation why Paul is saying that the gospel is worthy of my faithfulness and worthy of my highest priority. Because God put high priority in the people that he saved. It is the purchasing blood. Paul calls it a purchasing blood in this passage. In other passage, he calls it the redeeming blood, like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. So purchasing blood, redeeming blood, that means what? That means our salvation is accomplished with a price. And the price is a shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. Look at the table in front of us. The blood and the body. The separation of the blood and the body. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. To remind each one of us how precious you are in God's eye. He cares. He loves you. And he wants to redeem you. And he wants to work in your life. So trust him. Even though the pain might be unbearable at this moment, trust him. He died for you already. And that blood, purchasing us, redeeming us, also justifying us, making us at peace with the Creator. But most important of all, in the New Testament, when it mentioned Jesus' blood, the last mention was in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, overcame the devil, overcame Satan, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. This last reference of the Bible about Jesus' blood is the overcoming blood. The blood that purchased us, the blood that redeemed us, the blood that justifies us, the blood that satisfies us, will also be the blood that will overcome our enemy, overcome sin's power, overcome devastation, overcome disappointment. Because Christ paid a costly price to redeem us. Not only he shed his blood for us, but also, Paul mentioned, that Jesus gave his word to his church, to us, to sustain us. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The beginning of the chapter, you see that there was a long teaching, Paul, right, in the house. A young man named Eutychus. He fell asleep, fell down the window and died. What is the teaching of that story? It's not teaching like, you know, pastors should not preach long sermons, or you should not fall asleep while the pastor is preaching. The point is, these people, they are so eager to learn. And Paul spent long time to admonish them, to build them up in the Word. Because at the end of the day, what sustains us is not our willpower, is not our strength, but is God's Word. The deeper we learn, the more we learn about God's Word, the more we will be sustained. That's why we offer Sunday schools. That's why we urge for those of you who join CSI, after you serving, you working, serving for a certain time, we want you to come back and join other Sunday school to learn. It's not for the attendance of the Sunday school. It's for your own benefit, that you will grow deeper and deeper in God's Word, because only God's Word can sustain you. Doing is good, but it has to be coming from the foundation of God's Word. And that foundation needs our constant cultivation. Learn, meditate deeper and deeper. Because Christ paid a costly price to redeem us, and He also gave His word to sustain us. But most importantly, in today's passage, you will see that the gospel is worthy not only our faithfulness, our highest priority, because God, Christ Jesus, paid the costly price to redeem us, but also because we are called, each one of us, are called to exemplify the gospel in our lives. Verse 13 to 17, and also the last part of this day's passage, 33 to 38. 13 to 17 recorded Paul's travel plan from city to city, traveling. He determined to go to Jerusalem. He determined to go to Jerusalem, and he's not innocent. He's not naive. He knows what's awaiting for him at Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit testified to him from city to city that persecution, suffering, await him, but his call to be there. We will study a little bit deeper next week in the beginning of chapter 21, how to discern God's will even when we see all things seems to go against any effectiveness. Paul is a powerful speaker. He is a powerful church planter. He could have used his life much more effectively if he avoided that and go to different places. But yet he said, I determined to go to Jerusalem by Pentecost. And furthermore, you look in verse 33 down. He's putting up his example. I covet no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands, my hands, minister to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul used his life to preach the gospel, not only just his mouth verbally, but through his life. Here in this couple of verses, what do you see? You see that he served with honesty. I'm not serving because of the money, because of the financial gain. I covet no one's silver or gold or apparel. Rather, he worked hard for his livelihood. You look at my hands, those rough hands. Those hands have been cut by my hard working. You look at that. You see me making tent to support myself so that the gospel message will not be compromised. Hard working, honesty, but most importantly, his hard working not only just to support himself. He demonstrated them a lifestyle of generosity. I work hard not for myself, but also for the sake of those who are in need. In all things, I have shown you that my working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Dear brothers and sisters, you and I, we are called to demonstrate the gospel with our life, to exemplify the gospel message. How do we do that? I think we are too well managed. We manage ourselves too well. We don't want to overwhelm ourselves. We worry about how would I look, worry about my energy, worry about my well-being too much. Now don't read me wrong, I'm not saying that you throw all these things out of the window. But would there be some time that you can respond to a call or a need in the church or someone's life that you lay down yourself. Let me step up. Let me make this step of faith. Move forward. I don't know what is and what will take. I don't know what will cause me. But let me do that with faith. Christ Jesus, use me as you please. No longer protecting my well-being. No longer protecting my family, my time, my energy. But let God be God in your life. I remember those days. Today, the weather turned a little bit colder. I remember those days when my oldest child was still a toddler. Then my wife and I were the first one to arrive in the church for the choir practice. And people look at us and said, your child is so young. You worry about her getting cold? Yes, we do. And yes, she did. Catch cold and flu and all these things. My dear brothers and sisters, we need examples. We need examples that we love Christ. We've been captured by the gospel message so deep that we don't count anything about protecting ourselves, but lay down ourselves for the sake of the gospel. Paul did not throw away management, self-management. He managed. But there is a deeper calling here. The calling is gospel has to be our first priority. Glorifying God, testifying the message of the gospel is our highest priority. You are called to glorify God in what you do. Students, study hard, study diligently. Whether it's A, B, or C, doesn't matter. Study hard, study diligently. Put out your best because the people around you will see you. You are a Christian. Are you faithful to what you already been doing? In that way, you testify the gospel. I'm not saying that you should quit school. I'm saying that be diligent and be faithful in the portion that God gave you. But also, sometimes with faith, take a bold step. God, I don't know what it entails. I might mess up my schedule. I might not look good. It might cost me a lot of price. But let me take that step of faith and allow you to be God in my life so that others can be blessed. The English congregation has a lot of ministry, has a lot of ministry opportunities. You know what troubled me in the past couple of years? We are not short of creative ideas, but we are short of what Eugene Peterson called, he quoted a godless philosopher named Nietzsche. Even Nietzsche, the one who coined the phrase, God is dead, he says something like this. What makes life worth living is the same obedience in the same direction. The same obedience in the same direction. The long obedience in the same direction. This is what we in this culture lack of. A long obedience in the same direction. Doesn't matter whether you see result or not, I just obey what God entrusted me. Long obedience in the same direction. That is what we need. That is what this church is in need. Give me a handful of people that they don't calculate. He said, God, I'm willing in this ministry, I take the step of faith. And our congregation will be very different. All because Jesus, who died on the cross. All because of verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To care for the church. Why? He admonished the elders to be diligent to care for the church. Because the church of God is which he obtained with his own blood. My dear brothers and sisters, today we remember our Lord Jesus Christ in communion. His own blood. Does it worth your life? Does it worth your faithfulness? Does it worth your priority? Should we take a moment, bow our head and pray? God loves you. God values you. even on the expense of his son's own blood, his very own son's blood. Charles Spurgeon has a quote, which I put up on the slide. He said, "A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching." It's a warning for myself, but it's also a warning for all of us. Does your deeds cause people to reject your word? Christ Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, break it, passed to his disciples, saying that, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Communion presupposes a rightful relationship with Lord Jesus Christ in faith. So if you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, confess your sin before him and declare that in public baptism, we urge you to pass the element to the person next to you. Refrain from taking it. But my prayer is you will receive him as your personal Savior very soon so that we can partake together in joy.